out of Luke 2, verse 8, familiar scriptures, some which we read already this morning. But I just want to continue on. Looking at the story of Christmas. And I want to talk this morning a bit about coming to the manger. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest of heaven, and on earth peace to those his favor rest." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. We love the story of Christmas. We love all the aspects that play into this story. The story, as we talked about last week, of Mary and Joseph having to leave Nazareth because of the census and travel 90 miles south to Bethlehem, a small little town of no real significance, just 5 miles south of Jerusalem, a town of great significance. Having to journey, pregnant, uncomfortable, and even going up elevation. Certainly was not their plan, was not their choice. But we learn and we look at the humble heart of Mary and Joseph, the willingness to follow God wherever God would lead them. And of course, we get this story of the wise men that also just captures our imagination of these men from the east who traveled 800 to 900 or more miles to take a long journey, maybe even months, to come and follow a star they had heard from prophecy of old. Probably prophecy that was handed down from them by a prophet named Daniel, years and years, hundreds of years before. And then now we get to see the shepherds, the angels, and the angels appearing, a host. I don't know what a host, I don't know how many makes up a host, but a host is really like an army. You can just imagine that another word you could use for host is an army of angels. How many? Too many to count. To be surrounded, to be shepherds, surrounded by a host, an army of angels singing and praising to the Lord. How magnificent would that have been? And then how important was it that Jesus was to be found in a manger? What's a manger? Well, you know what a manger is, right? You use those all the time, correct? Don't you have one at your house, correct? Most likely, by the way, it's a feeding trough for animals. And most likely it was a stone feeding trough because that was what was most common back in those days. Yeah, we like the wooden one. The wooden one makes sense to us. It's easy to build. We don't build stone too well. But most likely it was a stone manger. I hope that didn't burst anybody's bubble. But why not a palace for Jesus? Why not better accommodations hay and straw and a feeding trough surrounded by some donkeys and some sheep and some goat and who knows what else, maybe some chickens running around and leaving who knows what. But Jesus, and it's simple this morning to say, Jesus had to be born in poor circumstances. It was actually important. It doesn't make just for a nice story that we can read by a warm fireplace, all cozy on the inside. It's important that Jesus was born in poor circumstances. And I want to unpack that a little bit, because it's part of the good news of Jesus Christ coming to this earth. Now let's look at Mary and Joseph for a second. Couldn't they have a better plan, right? Didn't they have a better plan than the manger? I mean, certainly they had ideas of a better plan, right? I'm sure the manger theme wasn't on their idea when they were decorating for the birth of their child. We're so into that. What theme will, I mean, we did it all, we all did it. You know, what theme will we have for our child when our child comes? We're gonna do this theme and this color and this. Oh, we love that. Nope, not the manger, not Mary and Joseph. Maybe they were just poor managers, right? They were just poor managers of the time, poor managers of resources. I mean, couldn't they just book like months in advance and like to get a better accommodation? You know, that's what we would do, right? We say, you know, you just got to book in advance because things get filled up. The inn gets taken. There's no guest rooms. But that's the way we think. That's the way we think. But this was not the plan. This was not the plan. To be all on top of things, to have everything in order. What took place was the very plan of God. Sometimes we just stop and say, wait, this was God's plan. The feeding trough, the hay, not having space, not having a guest room available. All of it was the plan of God. It was not just, oh, there just wasn't that which was available. I believe it was actually necessary for Jesus to be swaddled on the hay in a feeding trough amongst barn animals. I think it helps us stop and think sometimes that God's plans are different than ours. And God's plans don't always fit our thoughts about what should be, because we think about things of what should be, and then God doesn't agree. Because if we had to choose, we would choose differently, right? Wouldn't we? Wouldn't we choose differently? Wouldn't we have some upgrades in the accommodations? Because certainly Jesus is worth more, right? He's worth more. We would certainly give him better accommodations. We would choose the palace over the manger. We would certainly choose comfort over the other. But that's why we didn't get to choose. We didn't get to choose. Because the truth is, though we would want more for Jesus, we would want more for Mary, we would want more for Joseph, the story really is about God wanting more for us. All of us. In this room, around the world, in places far and wide, in places, yes, in palaces, but yes, also places where they're just simple dirt floors and huts. God wanted more for all of us. So it's really not about us wanting more for Jesus. It's really the story is about God wanting more for us. Because the choices God made gave all of us access to him. This is the story of God entering into humanity. It is about access. Who could come? Who could come to the manger? See, God chooses to enter amongst peasants, amongst the poor, amongst the simple, in simple places of really no great significance. Bethlehem was of no great or worldly significance, I should say. This is how it had to be. It had to be this way. In this world, we know there are things that are exclusive, right? There's things that you don't get to do because you don't belong to the club, right? There's places that you don't get to go to because you don't have the money to go there. There's memberships that you can't buy. There's vehicles that you can't buy, right? Because it's part of a club, it's part of an exclusive. They won't even sell it to you, right? Unless you can prove certain things. They have to see your bank account before they're even willing to sell something to you. I don't even know about some of the exclusivity because I don't even, you know what I'm saying? You don't even get to touch certain exclusive places in this world that you could go and be a part of and clubs and memberships because they're of the elite of the elite. But isn't that what it means to be exclusive? Right? Not everybody gets to participate. Not everybody gets to do. And that's just the way it is in this world. But some things are for everyone to participate in, for everyone to have access to. And that's so important and so crucial. If we think about exclusivity, and we think about the privilege and the rich of this world, now, you might consider yourself that because, yes, being an American, we're probably richer than most people in all this world. So we have some access to things that some people in this world don't have access to. And it's a blessing. So we don't forget about our access to certain things. And that's why in Christmas, we are still reminded to share, to bless, to give, and to give around the world as we do. And we continue to do. But among the privileged, there's a general tendency, and that's towards exclusivity. For what is for the privilege is just exclusively for them. You know, the Ritz-Carlton is not for basic housing, right? I don't know if you ever got to stay at a Ritz-Carlton. But there's clubhouses and special places that only special people get to stay. Because rich people like to have exclusive access to places and to things that only they can afford. It's exclusive. People with power, people with influence, people with a name in this world. And what would they do with a baby who's meant to be a king? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about that? Would Jesus be useful to them? Would he play by their games and by their rules? Could he be used for their purposes? If not, the other side of that is actually very grim. We look at Herod. Herod felt threatened by a baby that was going to be king of the Jews that would threaten his power and his power structure that he held. Well, he, being privileged, decided that he would kill anybody that would fill that role. What about the religious leaders of Jerusalem? Did they have much use for Jesus? Well, certainly if he would do what they wanted him to do, if he would say what they wanted him to say and to be who they wanted him to be, but he wasn't. And by the way, he was from a little place called Nazareth. And what good can come out of a Nazareth, right? He didn't come in the image and he didn't come as the person they were wanting or did they even respect. They were offended by this Galilean, this simple Galilean. In fact, Jesus got in their way, and they too wanted to kill him and do away with him because he was of no use to them. In fact, he was getting in their way. You see, sometimes Jesus gets in the way of people of power and privilege, and they want to, now I'm speaking in general, but they want to do away with Jesus. But we do see this in our day, in our time. People of power want to get rid of Jesus because he is getting in the way of their power and their what they want to do in the world. So Herod, religious leaders. And all of this comes out of this mindset of privilege, of being in power, of having influence. Religious leaders spoke of living in important places like Jerusalem, being from the place where the temple was and the center of worship was for all of Israel, and being trained by renowned, famous rabbis, right? The things that would give you pride in who you are and as a religious leader. But again, Jesus did not have any of that. He didn't have any of the worldly attributes of what might be considered significant and important. And Jesus challenged the privileges of the religious elite, and he called them into question. But then how can a nobody question a somebody in this world? But that is the problem of the rich. It is the problem of the privileged. Jesus did not play along. He exposed wickedness. He exposed their sin. And we know sometimes if you're going to win the favor of privilege, you don't expose them. But Jesus did. So it's very important to see that it was important that Jesus was not born into earthly privilege. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus gave up the privileges of heaven, the privileges of his power and authority and all the majesty of heaven. He gave it all up to become common and human like you, like me, or maybe not like us. Because he lives such a simple life. Philippians 2, verse 5, tells us the choice that God made was a very important choice. And it also speaks of the choices that we are to make. It says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He gave up all privilege to have no privilege here on earth. What an amazing choice to make. But why would he make that choice? And part of that is about access. To give all access. Every access, to not have any privilege to have access to Jesus. Even the wise men come, and the wise men are probably rich. They certainly gave rich gifts and had the ability to travel far. But they too fell on their face at the manger amongst animals. They didn't come in and says, oh my, what a terrible place, what a smelly place. We're out of here. They humbled themselves, and they worshiped, and they gave gifts. Jesus had to be a common man of no earthly privilege, because access to Jesus had to be available to all. All who would accept this poor man as their Savior. It's interesting that God chooses obscurity in a quiet place among common people, among people of no account in their culture, that these are the choices that God made. But we have to be reminded of Jesus' words. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? It starts like this. It's a powerful, powerful message of what Jesus spoke over and over again, that the revelation of Christ is for everybody, and it starts with people of humble stature. Matthew 5:3 says God blesses those who are poor and realizes their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Remember that? And then just a couple verses down, verse 5. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. It didn't say God will bless those who are privileged on the earth. It didn't say God would bless those who are rich on the earth and rich, full of the riches of this earth. It didn't say that. It says that God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. Now, even a rich man can realize his need for God. And what a gift. Do you know it's a gift to realize your need for God? Because even a poor man on this earth could stand in pride and not realize their need for God. So it's not always about what we have in the bank account. It's about knowing how much we need him. And how much this gift of a child in a manger is the greatest gift that could ever be given. The greatest gift that we could ever receive. Let me say this. In order to receive it, we have to humbly come to the animal trough where the hay is and bow down and give him glory. Because if we're not willing to humble ourselves, then the baby is not for us. Have you ever thought about that? The child came. God came as a child for everyone, to give access to everyone. And so there is access to everyone in the world. But it requires you to humble yourself. If you cannot humble yourself, you cannot receive Jesus. I think that just needs to be shouted all over the world. Because it's not something that we can just receive and put on our shelf as some kind of trophy. But it's something we must receive in our hearts and learn to abide with the humble King. So God does not go to the rich and the influential of this world. In fact, he stays away from them. He stays away from them because he knows that human nature would try to control him. Human nature would try to take hold of him, take hold of his mission, and make it their mission. But God couldn't do that. So God stands outside the camps of the privileged of this world. You see, if it was human nature alone dictating God, we would tell Jesus, and he was told this, if you're going to be a king, Jesus, you need a throne. You need a horse. You need to be impressive. If you're going to be a religious leader, you need to sit on high places, and you need to have a great robe. You need to show yourself to be important. Jesus, if you're going to be a prophet, then you need to be kind to and complicit with people in power. So don't upset them. Don't expose their sin. See, those are the kind of choices human nature would choose for Jesus. But Jesus would not play by the rules of power and privilege of this world. So God chooses a manger, not a palace. Consider that this Christmas season. He does not choose the educated of the day. He does not choose the influential or the powerful. He chooses instead people of humble means and humble hearts, people who looked to God for everything. Think about this Christmas. How are we to receive this gift, the greatest gift of God? He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He came to us in helpless form. in the most humble circumstances, and he came to people like shepherds. Think about it. Shepherds were given some of the first access to Jesus. Shepherds were not important people. They were, in fact, lowly people. They tended sheep. That's what they did. They smelled like sheep. They weren't the cleanest people. They were not educated. If you were around them, you probably wouldn't want to be around them very long. And yet, this is who the angels reveal the birth of Christ to? These are the ones who get the first access to the King of Glory. This is not what we would choose in the way of our doing things, in the way of our thinking. And the angels say, "Do not fear," to the shepherds. And they're given this invitation, they're given this access to the King. This incredible moment. And I'm sure they probably had to stop and think, wait, you're inviting us? You're inviting us to see the Savior, the Messiah, the good news of a Savior. And they were called to come, called to seek, called to find, called to worship, called to receive. They heard the good news, they went, they found, and then they shared. It says they left there sharing the good news, rejoicing with great joy because they had seen the Messiah. This message is not an exclusive message. This message is for all people, for all time. And it's one church that we must share. It's not exclusive. It's not just for us. It must be shared. It's the picture of the gospel message. It's the picture of the good news of Jesus Christ coming to this earth. All are invited to come to Jesus in the manger. All are called to come and bow down and worship him. But it's not a red carpet event. God came to earth in humility, so we must also come to God in humility. And that's the thing that stands in the way for so many to come. But we're invited today to come. We're invited today to come and worship, to disregard the pull or the draw of earthly privilege, to leave behind things of this world and to grab hold of the greatest treasure of heaven. We come. We come in humility. We come laying our lives down for the King. Luke 2, verse 10. The angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." Come, let's worship him. Let's worship the King.